welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and I'm your host for Inspire Indeed, where we're learning about community issues and the nonprofits and community leaders that are working to address them. And hopefully you'll learn something new and be inspired to think about how you might make a difference with your deeds. So, you know, the election is behind us, and there's this fiscal cliff ahead of us. And it can be very challenging to get beyond the sound bites to get to how policy choices are really going to impact you and your family, your friends, and the Richmond community. But in Virginia, we're fortunate to have an independent source for clear information on how policy decisions can impact all of us. Michael Cassidy is the president of the Commonwealth Institute for Fiscal Analysis, and he's joined me here in the studio today. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, those listeners out there, before you change the dial, I swear this is going to be a riveting conversation, even though it is about fiscal analysis and fiscal policy. And I'm happy to have Michael here because I know that he will do a great job of bringing life to what may seem on the surface as a dry issue. So, Michael, you founded the organization several years ago, right?
Yes, we were founded 6 years ago to be an independent voice of credible research and analysis on state fiscal and economic issues, particularly with a focus on how they affect low and moderate income people in Virginia.
Okay, so really focusing on maybe some of the voices that aren't normally heard in the conversation?
Yes, exactly, and particularly in the debates on state fiscal policy around the state budget, state tax policy, the interest and concerns and impacts on low and moderate income Virginians are all too often not top of mind on budget writers and policymakers. And so part of why we were started was to help broaden that debate to include the concerns of low and moderate income Virginians in that really important policy debate that we have every year in Virginia around the state budget and in the broader issues of our economy, our state safety net programs, how are they serving the workers in our community? How are they serving low-wage workers and families who are struggling to enter the middle class and stay there? And so that was sort of one of the key reasons why we were launched 6 years ago here in Richmond.
So 6 years ago, I'm doing my math, that was before 2008.
Yes.
And the recession. So
yes.
You must have seen your work change some over time.
Dramatically. I mean, when we were started in 2006, I remember the first governor's budget proposal, which came out just a few days after I launched the Commonwealth Institute, was talking about how the governor was going to be allocating the budget surplus that the state was facing
goodness,
at that time.
Remember those good old days.
And so there has been obviously very significant changes in our economy here, in when the recession hit and hit deeply. And we've seen such dramatic increases in things like unemployment, as well as need within our community, as too many Virginians lost their jobs or saw their family incomes tumble with hours cut back.
And then saw the need that they may never have seen before to access public services.
Exactly. And it's really very much that collision of a decline in resources to meet growing need that is at the heart of our state fiscal and economic challenges. Because the way state budgets work, at the very moment that people need services the most, namely when they've lost their job, mm-hmm. when they often lose the health insurance that goes with it, when they might need help in getting health care for them and their families or putting food on the table or even doing things like returning to complete a college degree or get some job retraining, those are all dramatic increases in the demand for public service. And it's happening at the very time that the state resources to meet that need diminishes because the very same factors that drive the increase in the demand are the ones that drive a decrease in state revenues. So when you lose your job, you're not earning as much income, you're not paying as much in taxes. When you're not driving to work, you're not buying as much gas. You're not buying things at local stores and paying state sales tax. And so state revenues often tank at the very time that that demand for services increases.
It's needed the most. So with that in mind and all of the different ways that fiscal policy can impact families or individuals that are maybe low to moderate income, how do you prioritize the issues for the Commonwealth Institute for Fiscal Analysis? I mean, so much of public policy right now is based on fiscal concerns. So how do you prioritize?
So we certainly have a very strong focus on state budget and tax issues. We are very active in explaining to all members of the community, be they individuals and their families through through the media, through places like this, and to listeners and to readers, what's at stake, and trying to make these important issues accessible to more people. Far too often, budget debates and discussions around tax policy are sort of insider, and they use a lot of really inaccessible language and terms and terminologies. So we try to work hard to explain these critical issues in a credible, substantive way, but also in a way that's accessible to a broad base of folks. And we also work very closely with a wide array of folks in the nonprofit sector who are themselves providing services to people in need through direct service providers or advocates on behalf of disenfranchised communities to help strengthen their own understanding of state fiscal and economic policy issues, because more voices are needed in this debate, and it's so critically important that the other folks who are equally as committed to improving the lives of Virginians have the best information they can have around what's at stake, what are the priorities of our state budget, what are the key issues in our state's economy. And so that's one of the key roles we also play in the community as a source of insight and analysis.
A source that's understandable.
Yeah, and that's really, we work really hard to try to do that. It can sometimes be a challenge because we love our numbers within the Institute. And so trying to figure out a way to talk about these things and to write about them in a way that makes sense to people is really critical, because at the end of the day, the state budget, for example, is about our priorities as a community. Mm-hmm. It's about where are we going to be investing in terms of education or healthcare? How are we going to be meeting the growing needs of our growing community? So it's not about a bunch of numbers on a sheet of paper or on a spreadsheet. It's not about the ups and downs of who's up or who's down or what vote's coming up when and are there the votes to get it. Those kinds of things are important. But what's more important is to try to explain what role these investments, what role these programs and services play in helping to support people throughout our community. And that's one of the key values we hope to add to these discussions and debates.
So one of the audiences for your information you mentioned are some of the nonprofit partners who are in need of credible information so that they can either go advocate for their clients or themselves, as well as help explain their value to the community. Right?
So, yes, absolutely.
So who are some of the other audiences of your information?
One of the other key audiences are policymakers themselves. We work very closely with lawmakers, with people in state agencies or local government agencies to also share this information and these insights with them, to educate them on what's at stake, to articulate to them the impacts on low and moderate income people or families struggling to get by, because that they have such important decisions that they make through the laws that they're passing, through the actions that they're taking in putting public policy into place, that that's another space where we bring that our voice and our perspective into it to lift up the concerns of low and moderate income Virginians for these key stakeholders who are making decisions.
When you think about what some of the top priorities are for you, kind of keeping in mind what we know is happening on the federal level with the discussions related to the fiscal cliff that we're all hearing about in the media these days, what do you think about how those federal decisions are going to impact the lives of Virginians?
So there are really important consequences for Virginians about how the debate at the federal level over the issues related to the fiscal cliff gets decided. The national debt is growing, which is a threat to our economy and to the funding for critical programs and services that Americans across the country rely on, including Virginians right here in our state. And so now there really is bipartisan agreement in Washington that we have to tackle this problem. The question is how we do so and who bears the burden of deficit reduction in our community. And that's a central question that the Congress and the White House are facing right now.
And so who bears the burden in terms of, is it going to be through increased taxes, or is it going to be through cuts to entitlement programs, or a combination thereof?
Exactly. Because really what the cliff is really two things. The expiration of a range of tax cuts at all income levels, as well as the expiration of a set of unemployment insurance programs that have been in place during the recession. And then there's sequestration, which is the provisions that are in place that are indiscriminate across the board cuts to the federal budget. And so figuring out what balance is struck in terms of whose taxes are going to be going up, who's going to be paying what, and what is going to be happening to the funding for programs and services in terms of resolving this key issue of how we're going to tackle our growing debt is really where you're going to see who's going to be impacted. And are we going to take a balanced approach in dealing with this key problem so that we're bringing in new revenues as part of the solution, as well as making program cuts? And then in the program cuts, how are we doing that? What's the shape of them? What's the structure? What programs are protected? What ones are cut? For whom? When? And these are all very critical issues because what we're talking about is things that affect all of us and can't, if not handled adequately, could have a very significant and disproportionate impact on the most vulnerable people in our community, for example.
With that in mind, what's a Commonwealth Institute's role when you look at federal policy? Because you're focused on state fiscal analysis. Of course, the federal decisions play into that.
Yes. And so one of the key things, one of the roles that we play is to educate people throughout the community and other advocates and nonprofit allies and lawmakers on some of these issues, to really try to work to connect the dots with folks on the consequences. I mean, there's so many moving parts with this debate right now. I mean, you're talking about the Bush tax cuts, you're talking about unemployment insurance and the earned income tax credit, you're talking about cuts to federal spending and obscure terms like sequestration and what different spending caps mean and all that. And so a big role of ours is to try to translate a lot of this stuff to explain to folks, you know, what's at stake and what the possible impacts are. But of course, the other key thing is Virginia is very dependent on federal spending.
How so?
We have a very large portion of our economy that is related to federal government spending. For example, when you look at the workforce in Virginia, 1 in 10 people in our workforce are employed by the federal government directly. Nationally, that number is not 1 in 10. That number is 1 in 25. So you see that we have that very outsized role that direct federal employment plays. And then you have indirect employment, because a lot of how the government accomplishes its goals and delivers the services to Americans is through contractors, through procurement in different areas, from not just on the defense side, but also on the discretionary side, where we do a wide array of work through contractors or various private sector firms who partner with the government to deliver services. And so we also have a tremendous amount at stake there. I mean, per capita, the federal government spends almost twice as much in Virginia as it does in any other state. So there's a lot at stake for our economy and for our communities in terms of how these issues get resolved. I mean, just as an example, what way are we is Congress going to make these cuts? Is it going to be through cuts to procurement and contract? Is it going to be cuts to direct employment levels? Both of them would have a very important impact on Virginia. The other thing that why it plays an important role is that the federal government is the source of a great deal of funding and support for programs that the state delivers. So they're really partners with states in delivering programs for education, for healthcare. So it's equally as important to understand how those federal budget decisions would be impacting our state budget.
I just want to take a quick break to let people know that you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. I have in the studio with me Michael Cassidy of the Commonwealth Institute for Fiscal Analysis, and he's sharing some of the details about the work that the Commonwealth Institute provides. Michael, I think it'd be great for folks to know your website so they could go look at some of your reports. What's your website?
Sure. Our website is thecommonwealthinstitute.org, and all of our reports and analysis that we publish are available there across all of the topics we've been talking about today on state fiscal and economic policy issues, looking at jobs in our state, safety net programs, and the like. So it's all available on thecommonwealthinstitute.org.
What are some of the recent topics that you've taken into consideration in putting together reports and really focusing on?
One of the most important things that we're working on right now is a critical issue that Virginia faces, which is whether or not we are going to expand our state's public health insurance program for low and moderate income Virginians called Medicaid. The states now have a choice as to whether or not they're going to expand their Medicaid programs related to the Affordable Care Act. When the Supreme Court decided its case around the Affordable Care Act, a kind of curveball emerged from that decision, which was all the other parts of the Affordable Care Act were essentially upheld, but one change was made by the Supreme Court, and it said states can't be forced to expand their state Medicaid programs. States need to be able to choose to do that themselves, and doing it otherwise would be coercive, in the words of the court. So now the ball is in the court of all the states as to whether or not they're going to go ahead and expand their state Medicaid programs. And so the Affordable Care Act basically provides two pathways to giving people health insurance and making sure they can secure health insurance. One is an expansion of state Medicaid programs, public health insurance. And the second one is the creation of these new marketplaces called exchanges, where people can buy coverage on the private market, but with a sliding scale subsidy from the federal government to be able to make that coverage affordable to them. So it's this first pathway to expanding coverage that is now an open question for states. It's a good deal for Virginia. It would be a lifesaver for hundreds of thousands of Virginians. Estimates show about 400,000 Virginians could get health care coverage through this expansion. There are about 1 million people in Virginia right now who don't have health insurance, and the different provisions of the Affordable Care Act would help get coverage for about half of them. Well, of that, the bulk of it is through the expansion of our state Medicaid program, and that's because currently we maintain a very lean Medicaid program. We have very strict limits as to who's even eligible for the program. For example, Virginia is 47th in the country in terms of per capita Medicaid expenditures. We are about 44th in the country in terms of the eligibility, for example, for working parents to get on the program. That's because we don't allow people to get coverage if they make more than basically $7,000 a year, or about 30% of the poverty level. The Affordable Care Act offers states the opportunity to lift that eligibility to basically 138% of the poverty limit. So for example, those working parents, that would be a major step forward to go from 30% to 138%. And it would be a real bargain for the Commonwealth. And that's because the federal government is going to pay for 100% of the costs of the expansion during the early years and no less than 90% during the out years.
So why is there a debate? If it's a good deal for Virginia, sounds like a positive benefit for a lot of uninsured people right now, why even hesitate to make the expansion?
So some state lawmakers are saying that there are going to be costs that are going to go along with the expansion, and that they doubt whether the federal government will stay true to their word in maintaining the strong match rates and funding under the current program. And I think it's also a misunderstanding of the positive benefits of health insurance and of extending coverage to more uninsured people. Too much of the debate right now, in my opinion, is around the costs of the Medicaid expansion and none of the savings or the value of it. So on the savings side, for example, there will be state budget savings by expanding the Medicaid program.
How so?
We currently spend a wide array of money, a lot of money, providing services to the uninsured in our community. And if more people had coverage, and that coverage was funded by the federal government, the demands on our state dollars would decrease. In addition, because it's 100% funded by the federal government, and even at the out years, no less than 90%, that represents a lot of federal resources and funding that we would draw into the state. And that would be an economic boom for Virginia. To have additional funding coming into the state, largely spent in the healthcare sector, which is a large and important sector in our economy. And so I think as we move forward with this debate, one of the key parts of it is going to be to expand people's understanding of the positive benefits of the expansion, both fiscally, but also for our communities. I mean, we're at this moment in this debate where it's almost like we're going back to basics to sort of explain the importance of having health insurance at all. And when you look at what we know about health insurance, you see what a critical role it plays in helping people succeed in their lives. Studies show it improves financial health. I mean, people
who are healthy can go to work.
Exactly. And people who have health insurance don't go bankrupt as often because they don't have unpaid medical bills. They're able to, because they have health insurance, pay their utility bill on time, pay their rent on time. It helps control costs in other areas of our healthcare system because when folks are getting care in a doctor's office as opposed to an expensive ER, we're not spending as much money throughout the healthcare system in inefficient or ineffective ways. And some recent studies have documented how it even reduces death rates. When one recent study looked at mortality in states that had expanded their public health insurance programs in recent years versus those that didn't, and the reductions were, you know, about over 6% reduction in death rates in states that had done so. And so these kinds of important consequences, I think, are being lost in the current debate. And those types of issues need to, I think, be brought front and center to say, how do we have a community here in Virginia that's healthy, that's educated, that's able to succeed in the challenging, globalized, information technology-oriented economy? And look at the kinds of investments we need to make to achieve that sort of goal. And one of the tools that's now on the tables for states is to go ahead and expand their Medicaid program and extend health insurance to more folks in their state.
You have some of this information available in a report, correct?
Yeah. So on our website, we have a series of reports that delve into this issue, that talk about how expanding health coverage can save money and save lives, how Virginia should make the right choice on Medicaid, and sort of explain some of these different parts of this debate to explain how it's a lifesaver for hundreds of thousands of Virginians, how it's a good deal for our state budget, and how it's a much-needed boost for our economy.
Well, as an independent nonprofit, the Commonwealth Institute for Fiscal Analysis, I'm sure, needs to do some fundraising and look for sources of support. So how is your work supported?
So the bulk of our work is funded by foundation grants, nonprofit foundations who support our work and see the important value of having a credible independent source for insight and information into state economic and fiscal issues. In addition, individuals contribute to our work. They too see the value of having an organization like ours who can dig into the numbers, who can explain in a credible and substantive way what these key issues are.
Great. Well, how do you recommend our listeners, once folks get on your website, thecommonwealthinstitute.org, and take a look at the information that's there, you know, what can our listeners do with it?
Sure. So I think one of the key things that folks can do is to understand the information as a tool to increase their own engagement in their communities. So, you know, a lot of folks who work with us use our information to help bolster their own arguments and explanation of issues, perhaps in reaching out to their own lawmakers to say, you know, here in our community, I know firsthand that people need health insurance. I work with them in my own organization, or I'm active in a volunteer capacity in some way. And they connect some of these key findings that the research has to tell us to their own personal stories and experiences with people in the community. They also often use the information about the top-line trends going on with our state budget and our economy to help frame the individual experiences that they're having or organizational challenge that they're having, as, for example, a nonprofit direct service provider, to say, wait a second, the state is passing down their budget shortfalls on us and our localities by reducing state investments in education or healthcare or human mm-hmm. services. And we aren't able to make up for those kinds of differences. We're a small nonprofit, or we're a low-income community who doesn't have the means to raise the revenue on our own. And so we need to strike a better balance in terms of state fiscal policy. A lot of times folks will use the information to, you know, write an opinion piece that gets published in a local news outlet, or maybe in a letter to the editor to respond to something. And so there's a lot of ways to use the information that we hope is accessible to folks to strengthen their own understanding and advocacy on these key issues.
Great. Well, it sounds like you do have a lot of wonderful resources available on your website. And looking ahead to when the General Assembly gets together, they're starting on January 9th,
yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming together January 9th, you'll probably have a lot of the timely information on that website that you referred to earlier.
Yes, definitely, especially as issues are being debated. We work very hard to put up timely assessments of things so folks can have some insight while issues are being debated and strengthen their own role and our own civic engagement broadly in our community about these critical issues.
Well, it sounds like a really helpful thing to have available for all of us. And again, Michael Cassidy has been speaking with me. He is the president of the Commonwealth Institute for Fiscal Analysis. And their website is, again, Michael?
www.thecommonwealthinstitute.org.
Thank you so much, Michael, for sharing your time with me today and with our listeners. I really appreciate it. Thanks also to Jay Westerman for serving as Inspire Indeed's sound engineer. WRIR is a volunteer-powered station that relies on listeners and underwriters to keep a local voice on the airwaves. If you're interested in joining our list of BFFs by volunteering or donating to the station, you can visit WRIR.org to learn more. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed. I hope you've learned something here today that inspires you to consider how you might make a difference with your deeds.